is Dardayan, for those who don't know me, and for those who know me, you know me. I'm originally from Albania, and I've been living for 7 years in Macedonia, Skopje, and serving the Lord here. And I'm thankful the Lord has given me the grace and the opportunity to just before I get immersed into the scripture that we will be studying.
I can see you now.
Now you can see me better. Thank you. I think Adam is always helping every preacher every week. So, thank you, Adam. It's good to have brothers like you. As I was saying, just before we immerse into the scripture, I just want to say for you to pray for us and pray for myself. You know, it has been quite a difficult morning. Just the video projector not working, and how we print, how we do the papers, how we do everything. But something we are sure is that the presence of God is here. And that changes everything. When the presence of God is in one place, that changes the atmosphere. And that's what we want. You know, we can even have a very, very structured program, and you can have a great, amazing meeting, so well organized. You know, you can have a company as Microsoft. It's amazing how it is organized. But if you don't have the presence of God, simply have a program. Simply have something good, something well organized. So we pray and we hope that you are gracious in realizing that all what we are after, when the program works well or when the video projector doesn't work, is the presence of God, is the glory of God. And when that comes, it changes everything. It changes our lives. It changes our hearts. It heals people. It saves people. It transforms lives. It restores. And that's what we want to see also in this morning. That's what we want to see in this day while we have our own marathon going on over here. So please join with me in prayer right now. Pray for all these things. Pray for the continuance of the service. And also let's pray for the word that we're going to hear. Please just join me in prayer. Glorious Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love, your mercy through Jesus Christ. We thank you for your presence into our lives. And we want more of your presence in our life. What we are seeking is your presence, your glory in this place, your glory in our lives, your glory in this city. Lord, lead all these services you have been doing so far with the worship. Continue to lead the word that you have put in my heart to share. May I be a voice and nothing else, a voice sharing what you have put in my heart and to transmit that. May no man be glorified by only the name of Jesus Christ. May our ears be open to hear and our eyes to be open to see what you want to show us and what you want to tell us to apply into our life. Help us in our own marathon while we are running, toward the finish line, toward the goal that you have set us. Lead each of us, Lord. I pray for a fresh anointing to come upon the body of Christ. May your word edify, build up, correct, and encourage every member of the body of Christ. We give you glory and honor, all for the Father, by the power of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The passage that we will be studying today is from Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. So the video projector doesn't work, but please, you who have your Bibles, open there. Who doesn't have a Bible, to stay someone close with someone who has one. And usually now a lot of people have their phones, so in any case, you can read the scriptures from your phone. So the main passage that we're going to read is from verses 13 until 21, but I will also mention a bit the verses from 1 until 13. So the whole the half of the chapter 8, but the main focus is going to be from verse 13 to 21. So I will read this and then we'll see what the Lord speaks to us. So from verse 13, Mark 8, chapter 8, from verse 13. Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread?" Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves but for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" So this is the passage that I've had to share with you today and study and meditate. And when we study a scripture, at least as preachers, the Lord does speak to us two times. The first time is while you're actually studying and getting into the scripture, the Lord speaks to us. He corrects us, He builds us up, He encourages us. So He speaks to us, first of all, while we are working with scripture. As anyone else who reads the scripture, the Lord speaks directly. The second time is while we are sharing it, we're not simply sharing it for every believer, but we're speaking again to ourselves. We hear what we are sharing. So the Lord actually speaks to every believer, also to the preacher, while he's sharing it. So while I've been meditating on this word, the first time that the Lord spoke to me was about, "Don't you remember?" One of the questions that he does when he says, "Do you have ears but fail? Do you have eyes but fail to see? Ears but fail to hear?" And so on in this text of these questions. One of the questions that he says, "Don't you remember?" And this expression really hit me. "Don't you remember?" Why is he asking that question? Because the disciples are struggling to remember. They are struggling to understand. And why I left just the passage before, it's in purpose. Because the passage before, from the beginning, from verse 1, is Jesus doing another miracle of multiplying bread. Remember? He did that before. He did just a few days or so before. And what do we see in that passage? We see the same reaction from the disciples as they had the first time in the first multiplication. They were before this big crowd, 4,000 people at least only men, and we have this big crowd, and they were asking the same questions. How will we do it? How are we going to feed all these people? How are we going to manage? Now we are even in a more difficult position. How are we going to do it? The same questions they asked the first time. It was just a few days ago. And they're asking the same questions. They just see Jesus multiplying the bread and the hand of God and all this big miracle that, you know, just you're amazed. How is the bread multiplying? And I'm sharing and being multiplied. And they saw it with their eyes. It just happened not a while ago. It didn't pass even years. And they are asking the same questions. So I'm connecting it with that because it's in the passage that we're actually studying and sharing. Because he said, "Don't you remember?" This question. And the Lord asks us that. "Don't you remember?" And I call this like a short-term memory of the disciples in a way, you know. And we should not be like judging the disciples at this sense because we are in the same group. How many times it has happened in our lives, at least in mine, I've had a financial problem and I've been praying, "Oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, how am I going to do? I'm a missionary. How am I going to find this money and how is it going to happen? You know, and this is all what I do. I just serve you. How will the finances come?" You know, and just praying what God has done. He has multiplied. What God has done, He has provided. What God has done, He has opened a door. What God has done, He has used His people to provide for the needs of His servants. And after that, we thank God, oh, hallelujah, we're happy in that day. Oh, God provided, we get the things done, we do what we do. And after a week or so, we face another financial problem. I'm just taking an example, but it might be different for each of you. We face another financial problem. What do we do? Ask the same questions. We say, like, how am I going to do now this? How am I going to find now? We ask the same questions. It's the same issue. It just changes maybe the amount of money, or maybe it just changes the situation if it is not a financial thing. But don't we ask the same questions? Am I alone here? We have, in a sense, a short-term memory that we have to fight against. We need to remember what God does for us every day. We need to remember when the same struggles come. We need to remember that the God who was faithful yesterday is faithful today and forever. Amen? He is. He's always there. He's the same God. So Jesus, who multiplied just a few days ago, he is multiplying again, and the disciples are asking the same questions. Lord, help us. Lord, help us, because we do that so often. The people of Israel, they, in my opinion, they worship God on the wrong side of the sea. They had to be worshiping God when they were in the other side of the sea and the Egyptians were coming and they were there. They had to worship God. Oh God, you are the mighty God. You are the God who's going to deliver us. You did so many miracles just a few days ago. You are here with us now. You're going to open the sea. Rather, what they did? No, they were like, oh, why you brought us here? Now we're going to die. Oh, the Pharaoh is going to come. He's going to kill us. They only see the sea. Many times we do that. We have struggles and challenges, and why to worship God and say, God, in the midst of my challenges, I'm worshiping you. I choose to praise you. I choose to trust in you. You've done so many miracles. You've done so many faithful things that I trust you. I surrender. Rather, they were complaining. When God opened the sea, in the other side, they were like, oh, all happy. Oh, God delivered us. But after a few days, what they did? They started complaining, oh, we were better in Egypt. You know, we had onions and stuff, and we had this and that. You know, why you brought us here? We're going to die in the desert. And started complaining. God just opened the sea. Lord, help us. Help us that we worship you in every situation. Help us that we trust you in every situation. May it be the lack of bread. May it be the lack of a situation. May it be the lack of someone in our marriage, of the person and difficulties or something that we need financially or whatever. That we're going to trust you. That you fix. You provide. You build. You unite. You heal. You save. May we trust you in every situation. It isn't easy, but we want that. And I think the key, before we move on to the passage, is something that Samuel did. And Samuel said, he said, Ebenezer, meaning, praise you, God, that you have brought me until here. Until here you have brought me. And what he did is, he put some stones, knowing that God had brought him until here. And I think what it helps visually, at least in my life, is of writing things down or of focusing in a way of putting some stones. You know, not physical stones, but putting these things that you can go back when struggles come, when challenges come, and know, God brought me until here. He's faithful. He can take me to the end of the finish line. He can be with me when the next challenge is going to come. He is with me. And you remember these things. That's why all these promises in the scriptures are. Because we need a lot of promises. Why? We easily forget. Very easily. Very quickly. Just a few days. And we forget. We forget of what God did. So let us remember that, because definitely it's something to remember. We need to remember. We need to keep in our minds and in our hearts and keep that we don't forget these things. And after Jesus, focuses to give them a warning. So I think it's an excellent warning. It's an excellent thing how our Lord, of course inspired by the Holy Spirit, amazingly gives illustrations, amazingly gives parables. It's amazing how he connects everything in such a perfect way. The warning that he gives to them, he exactly connects of what is going on in their mind, and he connects with the passage just before that, of what happened with the multiplication of bread. So it was about bread. He's giving a warning about yeast. So he's putting it in the context of something that is related, and then the warning through something that they can understand, through something that is actually in the whole context of what's going on. The last thing that happened was about bread, the Pharisees asking for a sign, so it wasn't enough for them, the multiplication of bread. Again, they wanted to give us a sign, meaning something from heaven, something from the sky, something visual, very big, very powerful. That's what they were asking. Jesus, you know, they were provoking him, so Jesus just says something in the verse 13. He says he left them. That's such a sad thing of abounding them. Leaving them, and that's so sad for the Pharisees. That's so sad of the condition of their hearts. And the disciples are not in that condition. And we are not in that condition. While we are sharing the passage that Jesus is sharing with the disciples and speaking to us today, we are not in the condition of the Pharisees. It's two different things. It's sad that he left them, but was he speaking? He's warning. He's helping us. Who does he warn? Who does he correct? Those that he loves. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you that you are patient with us. Thank you that you are merciful. Thank you that you warn us. You are such a good Lord. You warn us. Wouldn't you want, when you are driving somewhere, having signs to warn you? You know, we need those signs. And we need to respect them. We should not have that side of the Balkan side, which we don't follow signs at all. You know, but we should follow the signs that the Lord gives us. That's what meaning of being a real disciple of the Lord. We want those signs, and we want to follow those signs. And we seriously want to follow them, because there can be great, great consequences. So he gives this warning, and he connects it with the East. And he says, be aware of the East of the Pharisees, and be aware of the East of Herod. In Matthew, instead of the yeast of Herod, just a short, quick explanation, instead of the yeast of Herod, is the yeast of the Sadducees. Sadducees, how do you say in English? Sadducees. I said it well. Well, I'm impressed. Thank you. Well, it says the yeast of the Sadducees. So the idea is they had like a political party also. They were quite involved. They supported Herod. Herod supported them. And that was one of the differences with them, with the Pharisees. So that's why both are correct, even in Matthew, even here. But this is our passage. We'll focus on this just as an explanation to have an idea. If you read that passage sometime, just to know that it's the same thing. So first of all, what is the yeast of the Pharisees? What is the yeast of Herod? The Sadducees somewhere there in the same group, but it's the idea of the concept. And what is the yeast? How does yeast come? So first let's explain that, and then let's see how we apply that into our lives, and what should we do with this warning? What we should do with this warning that the Lord gives us? The yeast of the Pharisees is pride, hypocrisy, something that, you know, something that comes in and it's all about superficial. It's all about outside. And then inside, it's totally a different thing. And Pastor Martin has shared about this. He shared about the Pharisees and something in those terms. And about this outside and from the inside. And again, that's about remembering. Do we remember the past sermons? Again, with a short-term memory. You know, again about that, of writing things down, keeping notes, studying when we are back at home, something that hits in us, not thinking we are like genius or we are special and we're going to remember everything, you know, but kind of like writing some things down. And on the phone or when we were home. But so Martin shared about that. I'll not get on the details of that. But the idea is that's what the yeast of the Pharisees represents. And how easy we can become like that. That's not something that we're immune to. And we're going to speak about that. But first, explain that. We're not immune to any of this, to any of these warnings. Otherwise, why is Jesus warning the disciples? And as a consequence, being in the Word of God, also warning us. None of us is immune to that. No pastors, no missionaries, no evangelists, no believers of doing different things. It doesn't matter how smart you are. None of us is immune to this. These are not those things that you go in the market and you say, like, check, sugar, I took. Okay, salt, check. and you finish and you move on. These are things that we work every day, and it's a warning that we can become. I call the Pharisees and the Pharisees of our days, I call them double CIA agents. You know, they have like a double identity. You know, there is something in the church, is there outside, you know, the robes and all that you see, and you know, like, oh, hallelujah, oh, great brother, and they're like, you know, there's these great saints, you know, and then there is something inside, outside of the church, there is an inner identity, the person that they actually are, like as a CIA agent is, he takes a name, a fake identity, and then he lives that out there, but when he goes to his daily life, he is that, you know, that's the person that he is. So that's how the Pharisees are. You know, and it's so easy to become that. None of us is immune to that. It's a warning we should take in consideration. And definitely I believe these warnings about the East are actually some of our greatest struggles. Some of our greatest temptations. The most difficult temptations we face every day. So the Pharisees, let's go back to that. The Pharisees is about pride, about hypocrisy, about the outside, and it's easy to become that. Herod, the East of Herod is about worldliness, about sensuality. So worldliness and sensuality. So since we have this pride, hypocrisy, worldliness, sensuality, and power. You know, that's what politics was about. That's what Herod had. You know, he had sensuality. He was even ready to give half of his kingdom just because of his lusts and his struggles with this. So let's sum them up and let's kind of like put them in a better order or things that we can understand. So pride, it has the roots in heaven and it's just going to continue. Pride, it means it's about us. Hey, I have to have it. Hey, why not? Hey, it's good. Hey, it's about me. Hey, why you are not listening? Hey, why you're doing these wrong things to me? Hey, it's about me. So pride, it's all about you. And actually everything else in those other temptations is about pride. The root of it is pride. It's about me. It's about my pleasures. It's about my comfort. You know, why you're not letting me? Why should I not have that? And that's how the devil comes in. Why not? Why you should not have it? This is good. This is nice. This is pleasant. You know, this is pleasant. This is tasty. Why not? Get it. Have it. So definitely pride is the root of it. And then once you have the pride and growing, then of course it brings all these other things. Because how you need to fix, you know, you need to fix it with outside clothes. You need to fix it with hypocrisy. You know, you need to fix and find ways and organize your own life in those terms. So definitely pride is the root of it. But other temptations in our own lives, but that we bring from here, is worldliness. Today, more than ever, more than the times of the disciples, how many tools the devil has for worldliness? He says, why not? Try this, get this, why not? This is nice. Sensuality and all that, you know, now it's summer, but, you know, you just don't know where to look, you know, like, should look like when you're walking with your head up, you know, when you're walking the streets, you don't know where to look because there is little clothing, you know. So the idea is it's everywhere, it's in the streets, it's in TV, it's in internet, everything, this sensuality that you get. Not to speak in a lot of details because there is no Sunday school today. So the idea is, are all these temptations that are still going on today? The desire for more money, the desire for our own pleasure, the desire for our kingdom here on earth, for a nicer house, a nicer car, nicer clothing, nicer all these things. I'm not saying that these things here on earth are negative. We need them and we live here. But our hearts should not be for those things. We are not from this world. We live here. We use these things and temporary. But our heart should not be in these things. We should say no. And the reason why, once we have this explained, what do they mean and how they apply into our lives, we'll share that in a minute. But the idea is about the East. It's amazing how Jesus used the East. Of course, the Hebrew people ate a lot of bread. And this was so applicable to them, they understood well. But all of us know, those who make bread, or once upon a time, or those who buy bread, but all of us know what yeast does. Yeast makes the dough grow. It makes it bigger. And the idea is that's also the issue with pride. You need just a little bit and going to make it grow. But if you have that keep growing, 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 just going to puff out and just going to explode. The bread going to get just open. You know, that's what pride does. It starts with little, but it destroys everything. And that's what every other temptation does. It starts with little. The devil, of course, he's not stupid. Not giving him a compliment or something, but the idea is he's not stupid to come like an elephant. You know, here I am. Oh, I'm tempting you. Oh, I'm doing this. No, no. He comes as a mouse. You know, he comes with something little. He's tricky. He's not saying like, oh, here I am. I'm tempting you. Oh, I want to fall. No, no, no. He presents you the nice things. So while we think of this, of what the yeast is, I'm going to give you some illustrations of my own that we share in the teams, preachers, and all that. And while I was thinking of what actually relates to me, so you think. So please kind of like have a journey with me in the market. Do you guys like the market, the green market? It's one of my favorite places. You know, just I can walk there like all day. You know, just we have to get quickly so we don't finish our money. You say to Bidiana, let's move on. You know, we got enough things. So just go. But let's say we're in a green market. And what the people in the market, I know how they work. You know, the people in the market, always they have some nice fruits in front of you. So you're walking and you see all nice fruits, nice apples. Oh, these are so nice, nice strawberries. And you're just, oh, you know, and you get like, you want them. They look so nice. So you're walking there. But their trick is this. Little spoiled fruits are from behind. Guess what? They show you the nice ones from the front. They have the little spoiled ones from behind. What do? Once you get decided and you are like, oh, this is nice. This is why I want to get it. Oh, okay, 70, 80 denars, you know, oh, but it's okay, it's so nice. Let me get it. You know, it's big cost. Sometimes they cost a bit more than the others, but it's so nice. Let me get them. So you already like, kind of like, you ate the bait, you know, so you already went for it, and let me take. And what they're going to do, they're nice, they're going to put them in the plastic bag. They're going to put those little spoiled ones there. They never told you about it. They didn't show them to you. They show to you the nice fruits. Guess what? You think the devil is our friend? When he shows to us stuff in internet and around us and in our life and with our desires that we struggle and all that list of the temptations that the disciples should be aware of and we should be aware of, you think that he's going to show us what are the consequences of it? No! He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't have our benefit. He wants to destroy us. But he shows us the nice things. He shows us how nice they are. Our flesh wants them. Oh, more money. Oh, nicer. Let me fix it. Oh, more. Oh, about me. Oh, about my comfort. Why you don't do, husband? Why? Why you don't do what I want? Oh, you know, and all the temptations around us and the sensual and all that I said. You know, it's like, why not? It's nice. It's good. Oh, I like it. Why not? It's something good to see. Specifically us for men, you know, like our eyes, we want to see a lot. Why not? Well, why not for a lot of reasons, but let me mention a few. Why not? Because God is warning us. Jesus is warning us. Why not? Because we love Jesus more than those things. Why not? Because that's a trap. Follow with me with another food illustration. We all know this from movies or from cartoons. Kids actually can relate to that, those few that we have. You know those with cartoons that you have a mouse and how you catch the mouse? Well, you put a trap, you put some cheese there, little cheese, and all that the mice is looking, you know, it's like the cheese. Oh, you're going to get the cheese. Oh, I like it. I'm hungry. Oh, going to get the cheese. All he looks is the cheese. There is a trap there. There is a trap to kill the mouse. Well, a trap is ready for us at any day. At any moment, the devil is strategizing his traps and he says, look at the cheese. You're hungry. Why not get more pride? Why not get more pleasure? Why not get more worldliness? Why not get more power? Why not get more sensuality? Why not? Look it. Enjoy it. It's for you. Look how nice it is. I'm going to give it to you. Look and, you know, take it. And my question is, are you looking at the cheese or are you looking at your head being strangled? There are consequences. That's why we're thankful. Lord, thank you that you warn us. Thank you that your word has everything that I need. It has promises, it has guidance, it has history, it has examples, it has warnings, it has everything that I need. It has encouragement, it has teaching, everything that I need is here. And the text that we are studying right now, it's about warning. It's a warning that we need continually. None of us has checked these things in. None of us is still in heaven. We're still here. None of us can say like, oh, not me. Oh, I'm immune to these things. What do you mean? You know, these things are daily things we need to admit. Are real challenges. These are big temptations. Are some of the main ones that the devil uses against us. He have always done. He just has find different forms. Now he has the internet. He just can go everywhere. It can go quickly. But the idea is, are things that all of us are involved in. We need the help of God. And the idea is, we need to know that it starts with little. That's why also, while I'm getting to the end of the message, the most important thing always when I share a message is the altar of prayer. You can share a whole word, we hear words all the time, but what now? What should I do? You know, you hear a word and then you go home and you say, oh, that was a great word. I was greatly encouraged today. And again, after a week, you don't remember it. You forgot. You say, oh, I'm going to do something that was shared there. I have to apply it, but I'm going to do when I go home. When you go home, you eat, you're ready, you go around, and you forget about it. It's very, very important. When we hear something, we apply right away. Because in the spiritual, in prayer, something happens. There is a victory, actually, that we receive in prayer. There is power in prayer. In prayer together, there is a lot of power. There is power of transformation, of healing, of restoration. There is power of giving the armor of God, of being aware. Whoa, it's like water, you know, and we're more awake now. We are awake, you know, we're seeing now. Don't you see? Don't you hear? Then you're seeing more clearly, as the disciples will see later on. They say, oh, now I see. Oh, now I understand. Oh, now I hear. So it's the same thing with us when we respond to it right away, and then we apply it through the week and continually in our life. But it's very, very important to answer. Reply. That's what we're going to do when we're going to go in a couple of minutes in prayer. But let me conclude with this. Let me conclude that when warnings comes, when corrections come, teaching as the Word of God is giving, 2 Timothy 3:16, when all this come as what the Word of God is, inspired Word of God comes, it's always for building up. It's for encouragement. It's to have us, I'm in this path, I'm in this marathon, I want to become more like Christ, then I'm more aware. And we need this reminder every day. That's why we should be with each other, to remind each other continually these things. Because it's not a one-time thing. We struggle every day. So that's the most important thing to know. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is warning us, is the same Lord who has the power to give us against temptation. He has the power to give us victory. He has the power to give us hope. He has the power to give us solution. He is patient. He is lovely. He is the whole opposite of the devil. He is the Lord which overcame death. He overcame sin. He overcame every temptation. Every temptation that you can think of can be described in the temptations of Christ. And He overcame. He overcame the word for us so we can have the victory. Trust it. Believe it. Receive it. Take it because it's true. And when we receive it, it's not from our efforts. It's not how we're going to do it. But, oh, this is so difficult. Oh, I fall. Oh, I'm bad. What am I? No, no, no. You are a saint which falls sometimes, but you have victory in the name of Jesus. You have victory in the name of Jesus. I have victory in the name of Jesus. We can live a victorious life. This is what it is about. It's not a desperate life, beating up ourselves every day and fixing a day, 2 days a week, and then going back to it. No, no, no. It is a victorious life. You can have a victorious life. Jesus has promised it. I believe it. We believe it. We receive it. That's our Lord. That's our God. He has the power. He's more powerful than the devil. All his traps, all his strategies, it doesn't matter that we are in 2018 and he has made them more modern. He has made them more wide. He has made them more thought. He has had all this time. It doesn't matter. Our Lord is the one who gives solutions. He says, when you have temptations, I will also give you the solution. I'll give you a way. It doesn't matter where you are. So I don't know where you are now. I don't know which of those that I mentioned and the scripture shows, I don't know with which one you struggle the most. But before we take communion, I want us to go in prayer. Go in prayer with these thoughts. Lord Jesus, what is there a little yeast? Take it away. And this is my last illustration, and with this we're going to go in prayer. The people in the market, they leave the little spoiled ones. They leave them behind. But the very, very, very spoiled ones, they throw them away. Because it can spoil all the others. But it starts with little. If there is something in your heart, even something little that you can examine, you can pray, the Spirit going to convince you of it, or you have already thought of it while I was sharing and we were hearing the Word of God, say, Lord, cut it. Lord, throw it away. Lord, take it away from me. I don't want to ruin my family. I don't want to ruin my life. Something so little, it can cost your very life. So many ministers, so many lives, so many ministries being destroyed because of little yeast becoming big, taking over, destroying our lives, our run, our families. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord Jesus, you are good. Lord Jesus, you are our Savior. We believe in you. We thank you for your warnings into your word, for the disciples back then, and for us right now to apply, to put in practice, to be aware, to stay strong into you, in your word, in prayer, in fellowship, in the armor of faith against these temptations, against this yeast of the Pharisees and Herod and what that meant and what it means to us, against these things. Lord, help us. We need your help, Lord. We can't do it with our strengths. We need your help. Help to remember. Help with our memory. Help of what you do in our lives. Help with the temptations. Help with victory. Help with restoration. Help with what is broken. Lord, take it away. If we have allowed little yeast into our hearts, into my heart, Lord, take it away right now. Before we take communion and remember what you have done for us, we remember before that, and we want to come in a victorious way. We want to come in a humble way. We want to come in a repentive way. We repent. We repent. We need your help. We need your guidance. We need your strength. Help us, Lord. Help each member of the body of Christ in ICS. We pray your power, your anointing, your strength, your victory. May each of us live a life of victory. May we live a life as followers of Christ and not as followers of Herod or as followers of the Pharisees, with the little yeast taking over and becoming big and taking over of our lives and becoming hypocrites. Lord, help us. We believe that we receive victory right now. We believe that you give us the victory against sin, against temptation, and against every struggle that we are facing right now. We believe in you. Cleanse us. Purify us. Lord, just restore us. Take away every yeast from our mind, from our heart, from our soul. Lord, restore us individually, as a family, as a community, as a city. We trust in you, our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory. For the glory of Father, we pray and we believe by the power of the Spirit that is given in us. It's in us. It abides in us. It's given to us to overcome these challenges. We pray in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, our King and our Savior. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. He's worthy to be praised. And I believe that each of us is going to reflect on this. And we will put it in practice as being aware. We know these things. Are all things that we know. But remember, we quickly forget. Remember, they are well organized. And they are so small, that we should be aware every day against these attacks. Now we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Adam, please come. You come and help. So please, we did pray, but if you need a few more seconds to meditate and think, we take our time, but after we'll go from that side, and we'll just continue in line and come and receive the Lord's Supper. But before that, I apologize with all the video projector and all that. I totally forgot. Before that, we're going to read the Nicene Creed. So please, if you can stand. Thank you for being so gracious, so understanding, and helpful. I can see in the interaction and not falling asleep or something. And being gracious with all the technical problems happening. But what we're going to do, again, we have to improvise. So what we're going to do, I'm going to say it, and then you're going to repeat after me. We don't have it there, and it couldn't be printed. I tried to print it as a second option. So this is the third option. It's going to work well enough. So this is what we proclaim, and everyone who proclaims this and believes this then is invited to take part of the remembrance that we do to our Lord and Savior and what that does into our lives, that reality. So I will say it, you repeat it. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit. And the Virgin Mary. And was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day He rose again. According to the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven. And is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory. To judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit. The Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son. And with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead. And to the life in the world to come. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So please join me while we're having the Lord's Supper and remembering as we proclaim this great sacrifice. So please come from that side. You help with the bread?
Yeah, the bread.
Yeah.